right, it's another Sunday afternoon. Travel. To the crash site. I was smart this time when I came in on Friday night. I filled up the car with gas. And, so I'm able to go all the way to the crash site and then on to the first day of work without worrying about the gas situation. Boy, I came in on fumes Friday night, I tell you. Amazing. I was getting down next to nothing. I filled it up. It only took 7.1 gallons. I heard this thing has a 9-gallon tank on a good day. So I would imagine it really is something along the lines of 8 gallons. So I probably could have gone a little further, but regardless, we're back on the road and running and running and running. I find myself more quiet. And so I really don't know what people are thinking to think about what I say. If I open my mouth, I open it up on the blog. The last thing that I did, how many days ago it was? It was over a week ago, I think. And I got six reads on that one. I don't know how effective that is. I don't think people are readers. Much more willing to watch a video. I talked about orthodoxy. A big reason why I haven't chosen to go after a PhD. Number one, I really don't know if I'll ever get a return on investment. Every once in a while I'll talk to somebody. I think this weekend I was talking to Daryl. Our chief technology officer. We were there doing the career fair. I feel like I've talked about this before, so I don't want to talk about that too much. But yeah, here's one said, well, you know, if you don't plan on teaching or something like that, he goes, I don't know how worthwhile a PhD really is. And he's got one. Says, of course, he says, oh, I love teaching. And you go, that's great. I said, I did the adjunct professor stuff. The way I ran my class was really kind of automated. I'm a simple guy. It was a simple class. A couple of students had told me that if I didn't make listening to my lectures something gradable, so that they would get a worse grade if they didn't listen to the lectures, that nobody would. And I never really looked to see if anybody watched the videos. I don't know how engaging they were particularly. I'm really different. I think most people are really just, you know, if you're going to do a PowerPoint with points, all you're supposed to do is read those points. You know, I think it comes to that whole weird thing. I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just not interested in behaving like that. You know, where they say, well, there's different kinds of learners, and there's different kinds of... Good night, man! God, this guy just crammed himself right up my butt. Like, how dare you? How dare you get in front of me? Wow. That was just... I almost cut somebody off trying to get away from this guy. Yikes! I'm very happy to get off the interstate as quickly as I can. Don't like the interstate. Don't like the kind of drivers that are on it. Getting to be a lot of... oops, I'm sorry. A lot of... what do you call them? Indians. Lots of Indians on the road. And to be really honest, Indians are very... you know, driving in India, from what I've seen, is really quite aggressive. You really have to just get in there, and are you going to get hit some? Yeah, you're going to get hit some. And that's just the way it is. And so as these Indians come over here and take these trucking jobs, you know, they learn how to drive someplace else. And they are aggressive. So yeah, I don't like being on the road with them, to be honest. Anyway, about getting PhD and teaching and stuff like that. I don't know how engaging my videos really were. I thought, you know, I found them interesting while I was doing them. I got kind of a kick out of it. But after that, you know, he said, I ran a web-only class. I wasn't really terribly interested in a lot of... you know, people say, well, you got to have Zoom meetings, and you want people to be able to come in, and you know, you've got to be able to grade that, or else they won't come. If it's just supposed to be... if it's just supposed to be some kind of, you know, something to help you out, things like that, you know, just, they won't come. You go, okay. I thought my class was very easy. I think most people saw it that way. I said, this is a great class, very, very structured, very much, if you basically do all the work and do decently well, you're going to get a decent grade, and you'll probably be very happy with it. I will say that I very rarely got any bad reviews. They would rate their instructors, which I'm not into. You know, I'm not into any of it, to be honest. So yeah, to be an adjunct professor, which was probably closer to what I would be willing to do these days than anything else. I was glad to be done with it. I did it all during the time when I was at Eastern, so I did it for about 4 years. And it was okay. But yeah. Otherwise, not all that. Anyway, but yeah. And getting my PhD and saying, well, I would be doing this as something of a career is really kind of, you know, number one, I'm not a career guy. There is no number two. There's just number one. I'm not a career guy. I work for money, and that's it. You know, when people say, well, he left, and you go, yeah, he left. Why? Because he found something either paid better, or he was unhappy enough with the job that he had that he was willing to risk. You know, sometimes I would take a lower paying job next to get away from a situation I really didn't want to mess with, and you know. Am I a good person or a bad person? Depends on who you talk to, I guess. My career? No. I wasn't a career guy. It wasn't like, well, I'm going to go up this way and I'm going to do this and do this. Now, I think God gave me something akin to that. Making more money now than I ever have. That's totally God's doing. One of the other big issues is the sense that I have, and I've had it for quite a while, even before I went and got my master's. About PhD is really about, more than anything else I get an impression of, is more about being a good a spreader. Yeah, spreader's probably just as good a word as any. Of the orthodoxy of your your chosen specialty? And I am not a particularly orthodox person, and not particularly interested in becoming more orthodox about something. I was just talking to, we had an audit done from the church, and the guy who does the auditing, he's a doctor, a physician, a medical doctor. And after we were done, the branch president was talking to him, and you know, he was asking about how COVID's doing and all that, and how their thing is. So this guy was talking about it, and let me tell you, man, the dude was orthodox. You know, and I'm going, you know, the only intelligent thing to be, if you're a medical doctor, is to be totally orthodox. Because if you're not, they'll do something to your license. They won't relicense you. They'll take your license away. You can't practice. And boy, let me tell you, what good is all that time and all that money spent not able to practice? So yeah, are they orthodox? Of course they're orthodox. It's required. If you get off of the beaten path much at all, I think, you know, and people say, well, you know, there's Patch Adams, and you go, did you watch that movie? And you go, half of that movie was about the other doctors wanting to make sure that he got his license taken away. Because he wasn't behaving the way a doctor was supposed to behave. He wasn't doing the kind of treatments a doctor is supposed to do. Doctors are the ultimate technicians. And if you're brilliant, and if you're nice, and if you're wonderful, I don't know if that helps or not. Whatever brilliance I have and that I can bring to bear, and I'm not saying I'm brilliant, it's never helped me get ahead particularly, except, you know, it's all about your experience more than brilliance, I suppose. And so, yeah, says, you know, do I think much of doctors? And you go, no, they're fine. He says, do I avoid them? Yes. Because I really don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear the stock line. I don't want them to say, well, this is out, and this is out, and your numbers are done here, here, and there. And, you know, $1,000 later, all you've got is a laundry list of things that he wants you to come back on a regular basis to recheck your numbers to see if your humors are in good balance or some such. And you're going, you know, this is awfully expensive. Lisa spends, I don't want to think about how many thousands of dollars we've given to this physician's assistant. I'm not going to be able to get around this guy for all these truckers that, forget it. I'm just going to have to live with it. Oh, now you're going to slow down. Oh, you're just hilarious. Golly, man. sorry. So yeah, it says I'm a radical, I'm a rabble rouser to a certain extent, although can I say I try to be a careful one? Because I know that especially in this time, there has never been a more beautiful time for the Orthodox than today. Political correctness is absolutely a part of Orthodoxy. Doing what the powerful say you should do, absolutely the Orthodoxy, and it's never been more strident than it is today. Amazing. This is a beautiful time to be an Orthodox. And if you're that sort, keep all the rules, do everything the way they tell you to. This is going to be a magical time for those kinds of people. And I'm not terribly good at that. That's probably the biggest reason of all that I just, you know, do the why I haven't done my PhD and I probably never will. Just because I'm not that interested in being an Orthodox. And in being totally married to the Orthodoxy. And these days, boy, more than ever, you better be a good little servant to the Orthodoxy or they're coming for you. They've got a lot of little leftist stormtroopers. And that's what they're all about, you know. You need to do what you're told. You need to do what you're supposed to do, you know, and they'll come and find you. And if you're gonna be kind of radical like I am, non-Orthodox, the best thing to do is to find quiet places to behave that way and to kind of a low profile, unless you're totally willing to be all out. I think about Jordan Peterson and how seemingly unorthodox he has become, and the fact that he just seems like he's barely big enough to overcome the Orthodoxy enough that he doesn't just get eaten alive. I mean, he almost got fired from his teaching position, which was the bulk of his income at the time. It isn't anymore, you know. He wrote a book, incredibly good timing. His 12, I forget, I have them. I think Lisa and I got through like the first 7 or 8 before we moved on to other things, because it was quite quite a tricky buck. I think he lost us somewhere. I got another book called Maps for Meaning, but it's a lot more, you know, a lot higher level than this one. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm not even going to bother getting that one. Sent to us by my son Josh. Great guy. Trying to figure things out, old Josh is. He's expressing some opinions that he might want to get out of the military. I was encouraging him not to until he felt like they were done having children. Just because of how much it costs. I'm pretty sure he's, you know, I get, maybe I was being a little too practical, but I think I had very, very strong morals when I was younger, and I hope I haven't abandoned them, but I certainly may have altered them a bit toward the pragmatic, just because, you know, I had to survive, and stuff like that. Of course, I've never been in the kind of situation where somebody else runs your life quite like the military does. Sometime I need to call him and say, you know, Josh has been bugging me, what I said there, and I need to let you know that I certainly won't be disappointed if you leave, and if it's over some of the things that military members are just absolutely forced to do, I want you to know that I understand that. Because he was thinking of going out and being a contract. I said, ooh, yes. I said, that's usually an excellent thing to do. You know, be in for a stint, maybe two enlistments, maybe just one. Let the military train you to do something, and then there's an awfully good thought about just becoming a contractor. You don't have to live with the military's rules, yet you still work for them. You know, it's the same. You may even still be working in the same shop as you were when you were in the military, but it's a different thing. You don't have to ask for permission to go away. You don't have to do any of that, you know. If you want to take a week off, you know, the military can just say, oh no, where a contractor has to behave differently, so it may not be that big of a deal. So of course the whole thing has come to grips with the fact of, even though they say, well, I'll make three or four times more as a contractor, and you go, yeah, and you'll find out that everything that you didn't have to worry about all of a sudden is three or four times more expensive. you know. And you don't get some of the perks that a retired military member gets. So he says, yeah, he says, you who are in for 6 years don't get the kind of perks that somebody who is in for 20 or 21 or 22 or whatever. So it is the big question. He says, yeah, can you handle 4 enlistments? You go, I don't know. And you go, well, you know, if they're willing to offer them to you, that's something to be thought of. At the ripe old age of like, you know, 45, 46, 47, you can retire with a pension and, you know, and then you can make all that money, but then you also have the TRICARE, you know, the health care that the retirees can get. Some really nice stuff. You know, I don't know all the intricacies of when you qualify for this or qualify for that. I really don't know. But, you know, some of the benefits you can't take advantage of if you just do one stint. Some of them you can. Regardless. I don't know, I'd say, well, you know, it says, that was just one isolated thing to consider. I said, there's a lot of things to consider for staying in the military, including the fact that they're gonna, you know, that you don't belong to yourself, really. I don't think it's ultimately that bad as long as you're relatively easygoing and Josh is relatively easygoing. He's a real easygoing guy, I always thought. I think it'll be a wonderful... I think he could easily go to retirement. The military really does... Do a pretty good job. And gives you some nice benefits. Nice benefits. Now at a certain point, once you get up to a certain rank, you really kind of have to get into some aspects of the military that you may not like. You know, like managing something, being in charge of this or in charge of that. And that might not be what you're really interested in. And I don't know that the Air Force has really done a good job of doing that. At a certain point, you end up kind of with an office job. And if that's not interesting to you, you know, pushing papers around, worrying about buying toilet paper and stuff like that, it might not be very, very interesting at all. Compared to what you were doing before. I think the Army was trying, and I think especially the Navy was trying hard to try and create different tracks for different sorts, especially with how specialized some of the work that needed to be done needed to be. It was really, you know, they were trying to give good career ladders to keep more specialized and experienced people in just like, say, for instance, technical fields, in the military. I'd have to say that that the military got into the habit of, if they needed more specialized and more experienced people, they would tend to turn to contractors. So that he might be going down a good road that way. That might actually be the right road to go down, and I need to call him and I need to let him know that I hope I didn't think that getting out of the military was a stupid thing to do. You know, you might have to consider some of the other things and be careful that, yeah, the civilian world isn't going to take care of you particularly. That's not really the way they work. They're all about meat and bodies. And, you know, they want to hang on to their people, but, yeah, just as much as you might feel that way in the military, it doesn't change being in the on the civilian side. Might be something to say about, you know, I didn't stay in contracting at, say, for instance, DISA, for instance, which would have given me an opportunity to get a federal job, which was highly, highly coveted. To be honest, oh my gosh, what a mess. Truckers flipping over. Didn't have a very heavy load, look like. Anyway, so, you know, the guys at my level that were getting the jobs for the federal government, they were GS-12s, and their supervisors, kind of the lead guys were GS-13s, and then the guy who was really ended up being our boss, he was a GS-14, and that's pretty good money. I think I'm making more money now. I think that a GS-14 made back then, I don't know if it's all a commiserate thing, and I'm making, you know, I really don't know what the pay scales would be today. I'm not sure what to base criteria on. I had a good friend, he stayed a contractor. I think I don't know if he had been given opportunities to take a federal contract. I don't really know. But he'd always been a contractor. Good fella, you know, he was probably the best non-technician I'd ever seen. I've run into a few guys who are really, really good, and it's because they have a really good system that they put everything through. And it works really good. Like, those guys like me because I could troubleshoot pretty good. I'm not saying I'm God's gift to troubleshooting, but I was pretty decent at it. And I was surrounded by a lot of people who, you know, it was all about, you know, technical support help desk type stuff for them. But they had been there for a long time. You know, a lot of them said, I've been here for 12 years. I'm getting ready to retire. You know, I've been in the military for two stints. That's 8 years. And as soon as I can get up to 16 years here or whatever, you know, then they would say, you know, this is I could retire from federal service, perhaps. And good guys, I liked them all. Crazy bunch. Learned a lot from a lot of them, to the point to where I said, you know, I don't know if I want to be that kind of, I don't know if I want to do that job day in and day out for years and years and years. Can I be honest? I never really did. And like I tell people, I said, I don't feel like I'm really all that technical. I think that, I don't know. It says, am I really good at what I do? No, I don't think I'm really good at what I do. I think there are people who are far better at what I do, but they're very hard to find. And they get snapped up and they get paid a lot, and most organizations can't afford people like that. And so I kind of fill in the gap. I'm not really that good. I can figure things out. I've never known exactly what I was. I always kind of thought I would write, and I think I'm a pretty decent writer, but I don't think I'm any kind of, oh my gosh, you know, fantastic. Can I be honest? A lot of people that I've read, I don't think are any better or worse than I am, particularly. I think they got into a good position, and they're really good at doing what it takes to be a successful writer, which I don't think has a lot to do with writing. I think it has a lot to do with other things, the networking, stuff like that, stuff for which I have absolutely no interest and no aptitude. And you have to have some interest in it to get the aptitude if you really want to be a writer. So I don't know what I'm going to be. I don't know what exactly, you know. So when the time finally comes and the first opportunity I'm going to have to really retire, I think, is coming up in about 2 years. About the time that Sam gets off his mission, I think I will have all the stuff necessary to retire. I'll be, you know, I'll be 20. I'll be 50, 56 and a half, maybe closer to 57. And I'll be able to. You know, everybody says, well, you need to stay in for a few more years to make sure that you don't suffer for it. And they're going, maybe. You know, but I thought about it, and I said, well, you know what? I could just stop at any given time. If I stopped working now and contributing to my pension, by the time I turn 60, doing other things, of which I do not know what those things would be, I would be able to retire then. Just due to my age having caught up with how many service years I put in. I don't know if it would be very wise. I don't know if it would be very much money when it got down to it. Although I do have a paid for house, you know, I've got, I live in what I would consider to be a relatively inexpensive place. I might want to come up with something to save some money on groceries. A grocery store in our town's very expensive. Like, come up with some way to make it so that we can do cheaper groceries. That would be fantastic. Not having to spend so much on gas, going back and forth to a place like Clovis or Amarillo or Albuquerque, although, frankly, it'd be fine from the standpoint of, well, I'm going to the temple. The temples are in the big cities, so I wouldn't mind taking a... Uh-oh. I just missed my turn. Oh my gosh. Am I going to go ahead and go to Highway 3? I think I'll just go ahead and go to Highway 3. Hopefully they've fixed a lot of the stuff and there's no trouble getting that close to Albuquerque. So I think I will stay on the interstate for a little bit longer. It'll buy me some time, too. And I really like the road there, New Mexico 3, that goes down to... where's it go down to? That last place... Ah! It's on the darn signs. Anyway... Yeah, I think I will take Highway 3. I like it. It's up high during the summertime. It's just, it's not fall yet. It's still the summertime. It's really getting to be nice at night for just not being hot. But it's still hot during the day. Anyway, so yeah, it might be good for Josh to go off and be a contractor, although he's going to hit it pretty hard when he finds out how much it costs to have a baby. Oh my gosh, tens of thousands of dollars. unless you're on a good insurance plan that covers, that pretty much covers it altogether. I was poor, and we qualified for Medicaid. The only other way to have children and not just be completely destroyed by the cost of having children is, is to have poverty pay for it. Regardless, so, but Josh can take whatever road he wants to. Anyway, so, of course, you'll find out pretty soon how much, that's one Cal Holland stinker, man. Whew. I'm gonna get behind this guy. Past all this mess. 55 up a hill. Only getting 35 miles to the gallon. This is kinda. Past all these people. Anyway, so that might be a good thing for him to consider. So I probably need to send him something. Say, Josh, I feel bad that I put some pressure on you to stay in the military. He says it was only predominantly for one reason, and it was because of the huge expenses that would get dumped in your lap. If you didn't have good health insurance, on the outside. That much you gotta know. When I was having the kids, either I had really good health insurance that pretty much handled it back in the old days, or I had, or I was so poor, it didn't matter. And, Medicaid was pretty much paying for it. I had a little bit of both. I had a little bit of both. Gotta think along those lines a little bit. Let's see. I don't know. God set apart as a missionary, so now he's officially Elder Nemro. We've got to give spent his first week here. There's several places that are perfectly willing for him to volunteer there. And so he's going to get a little experience at all of those, situations. And see what he wants to do, at least for now. Are all excited about him. San Jose schools would be really good because Lisa's actually working there too, and they could carpool together. That would save some money, which I'm always in favor of saving some money. That one would be the best, but then again, it kind of goes south during the summertime. Get a real, you know. But I guess one can figure that out when the moment arrives. That one seems the most interesting to me. Mesa Lands Community College has the same kind of a thing that he might get involved with. I think Mesa Lands would be really quite... I don't know. I think Mesa Lands would probably be even better. From a certain standpoint, but I don't know what his criteria is, and apparently that's important. I've never understood that, you know. It's a mission for me was wake up at this time, do this, you know, it's very regimented, you know, tracting, and if you didn't have any teaching going on, then yeah, keep on tracting until it just wasn't appropriate to track anymore, and work until, you know, 9 or 10 o'clock at night. That's something to kind of think about. How you would want to handle that situation. Oh! Getting off of that. Salmon. I want to integrate more salmon into my diet. I don't think I'm doing that bad. The diet's had a lot of popcorn in it. I think I need to cut down on that. I don't know if that's a really particularly good carb. But yeah, I'm gonna stock up on salmon and have salmon for, I would like to think at least three meals a week, you know, like on a Monday, Wednesday, and a Friday. I try to get in at least one. one temple session a week. I'd like to get back to two. I did two a couple of times, and then one every other time, you know, on evenings. It's pricier that way. I've got to be a little more concerned about my money. But insofar as I can afford it and it works okay, and it's not gonna destroy the budget too much. I definitely go to the temple once a week. It's wonderful if I can get there twice a week. Because of how much time it takes, I usually don't get back to the crash site until nearly 11. And it's like, golly, you know, I still got to wake up just as early. And getting a little rough that way. So I don't know if it's just the wind, just the fact that I'm tending to go uphill more than anything else here. Only getting about 33 or 34 miles to the gallon. I could get up above 40 going home. But I think that's also because I'm kind of going from uphill to downhill. So I guess I just got to live with that. So I don't get the best gas mileage. But still not bad. Still not bad at all. Much better than the 15 I was getting with a much larger vehicle. I was just thinking right now, that's why the big, or a reasonable sized quiet period there. I was thinking about, you know, what if I would have hung on to that vehicle and slept in it, and I thought about, well, you know what, I'd still have to, registration and the insurance on. They don't let you just own a car without insurance on. They don't care if it's parked or not. You still have to keep up the insurance on as if you were driving it. And the nice thing about the boat is I don't have to keep insurance on it. And the registration is $35 for 3 years. Excellent. So yeah. No, there's no contest when people say you should have an RV, and you go, no, that's not very wise. Although I think Lisa would have preferred if I would have gotten a bigger boat, a little more well apportioned than what I've got. She doesn't like it because it's only big enough for me to sleep in, and it really doesn't have anything else going for it. And it's like, yeah, I know. I'm just... What can I tell you? So anyway, I still come back to the whole thing that it was a better idea to buy a boat than an RV, or a trailer, or whatever. Number one, I don't think it's very attractive as a stealing item. One of the problems is it really doesn't have good airflow, although I could make some improvements on that. Next year, I think I can do that. I think it's getting to almost to the point to where there's no point doing anything like that now. We're going to be getting into the cold season, and conditions really are. It's really how night is, not how day is particularly. I took Lisa out there during the daytime, and it wasn't very, you know, and she didn't like it at all. So, maybe next year I'll work on building some sort of a wind scoop or something. There's actually a port at the front of the boat. I usually keep it sealed because I don't want it raining in there. But, you know, I could come up with something. Something good for that. They said this is a really excellent year for rain, and it has been, I tell you. Lush and verdant is a heck of a term for it. We're getting tons of tomatoes. Oh, my gosh. It's great. Lisa's having to come up with ways to get tomatoes sufficient for our, you know, ways to work through tomatoes. And it's only going to get better as we get closer to harvest time. It's still a little bit early. Oh, the sun's that perfect spot to make you crazy. At the horizon. Ugh. I've often been kind of lucky that there's usually been a lot of clouds or rain or stuff like that on a Sunday evening, and I didn't have to worry too much about the sun going down. Now the sun's going down. Tough time now. It's going to be nice when we get to the first part of November and the time changes, and the sun will already be down by the time I take off, which is great because I won't have to worry about it, you know. I've still got all of my equipment for the winter time. I've got my regular sleeping bag and my extra sleeping bag, so I think I'm already in pretty good shape when the days start getting a little colder. next time I do an oil change, I'm going to have to get a good radiator flush and them to put in fluid in there so I won't have to worry about stuff freezing up on me during the winter time. I don't want to get too weird about that. Of course, this year it probably won't get half as cold as it did last year. It snowed a few times. It didn't snow a lot, but it snowed sufficiently that it's really difficult to contact anybody. I think at some time as well, I think I'm probably going to get back my Freedom Pop. Cellular service, and it's only $7.99 a month, which isn't too bad. Paid for out of my money, and I've never gotten down anywhere close to $7.99, so it would be a problem paying for it. About a raise I should probably get when I've been there a year. I really want to make sure I accomplish a couple of the bigger goals that need to be done, so when I do it, they'll say, why should we pay you anymore? We already think we're paying you too much. And it's like, oh, I see. And give them a sense that, okay, you don't have Nemro locked in. It says he's thinking about trading out, trading up. I might be able to get better money. It's always good to keep your employer a little bit nervous about this stuff. You know, some places have very little control over it, university I used to work for. You know, if they say, hey man, it's all kind of tied to whether the university is going to give out pay increases. It's like, oh, I see. I thought I was working for a more, okay, oh well, all right. There might be better places to work for. Can I be honest? Now that I've gotten my top secret clearance back, there's all kinds of possibilities and places that'll say, you know what, it's hard to get people with top secret clearances. I gotta hang out for the SCI thing. But I've got a couple of more months until I've got my I got my SCI secure container thing, which has to do with skiffs and stuff like that. I want to get that back as well. Let's see what the possibilities are, for Pete's sakes. Not find something better, that's okay. But the whole point is, I've got some possibilities. So I definitely want to get all that stuff worked out. And yeah, at about the one year mark, when I can move around. I can even move around to Mexico Tech if I really feel strongly about it. Although I gotta say, I think ICOS has been taking a lot of stuff away from other places. So I get the impression that it's probably the best pay at New Mexico Tech. And like I said, you know, time in and age is gonna come to a head. At pretty good places. So, and I think that at this year mark, you know, I could say, you know what, I don't have to work for the state of New Mexico anymore. I can go and do something else, make some good money, perhaps. Now, I don't want to get cocky. Sorry, I'm really not interested in getting cocky. But, you know, can I make more money? There's a good chance I can. Especially with the TSSCI stuff back in my hand. That means an awful lot, to be honest. Able to come home on the weekends. But boy, if I could find something that would pay similar or better than this, and get me a little closer to home. Wow. That'd be great. Uh-oh. Road issues. Oh, dang it. What is it with this crap? What is it with this crap? I thought we were past this. But I guess we're not. And I'm not very far along. Road work ahead. I don't think it's particularly road work ahead. Dang it. I don't think Flying C's far enough along. And then there's some of these truckers decide to get just pull over to the side, and of course they're in the way of being able to say, I'm going to take this next exit up here and I'm out of here. That was what I did the last time I took this road. Well, that's what I get for not paying good attention. Is not very much going on. It's quiet over here. Oh, why is this guy moving? How am I supposed to get ahead of you if you're moving? I'm not very happy with your behavior at all. I need to be able to get ahead of you, man. Let's take a look and see what we got up here. It's a ways. Well, we're gonna get some extra time to record, if nothing else. Don't know exactly what I plan on doing for it's a long way up here, I think, to the Flying C turnoff, and that's not really the turnoff for that I was planning on. Really hoping to get to Highway 3, but I don't think this is Highway 3. If it is, I sure want to take it. This is one of those times when I wish I had my maps out. I wonder if this thing has, if I have map of this kind of territory. Let's see. Well, it doesn't know where I am. That's one thing. I need to let it know where I am. Oops. Location. Okay. Let's get a sense for this. This is a good place to get off the road. Just gonna know where I am soon? Oops. That's too far. Well, let's go this way. 60. Lucy. Encino. So I want to take a look at 3. It says I'm right there. Well, I'm kind of stuck here. They have any kind of work here, and they just expect people to get over on their own power. That looks like the right thing to do. The right lane is closed. It's hard to know. Try, is this lady gonna watch me? I don't care. I don't care. Hope you're paying attention. All right. Boy, yeah, I tell you, man. People honking. Says you weren't honking because it's like, hey, you pull your head out. It's like, no. Says I gotta get over. Things starting to lighten up a little. Getting a little bit of. I think I'm gonna let this guy get in if he wants to. This is called being kind. Only if he wants to. Is he not wanting to? Oop, what was that? Oh, it keeps saying, I'm recording this. Okay. Let's see if we can get up here to Highway 3. And then once we do that, we can get off. This is what I get. sure how far away I am from it. Hopefully not too far. Keep an eye out, man. Keep an eye out, dude. It's not too much further. Anyway, yeah, we're going about 25 miles an hour at the moment. We're slowing down again. That dude decided he didn't want to get in. That's their business, I guess. Hope we're all not going to be killing ourselves trying to get in the right lane. I'm going to need to get in the right lane pretty soon. To get onto Highway 3. Anyway, the right lane's coming on pretty good. Almost kind of thinking I should have gotten back over. Because I'm getting off. I'm not hanging around. Okay, anyway, it's coming up at some point soon. All right. This guy's decided he wants to get over. I don't know when the merging has to be done. All I know is so many trucks. And merging is not a thing. Okay, let me think about something else. You know what? I don't really have much else to talk about, so I think I'm probably going to change over and listen to something else. Oops. Boy, this thing's just having a field day. Okay, that's enough.